Amen. Christ arose. Christ arose. Hallelujah. And we are so grateful you have joined us here today. And right now I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Race you to the graveyard. So growing up, my grandparents had a small farm in the middle of the countryside. Across the road from them and up about 100 yards or so was an old graveyard. Now, you know, during my childhood, it was all but abandoned. And this was one scary looking place, like something out of the movies. Think what a set designer might come up with for an old cemetery, and you will see in your mind Foyle Cemetery in the Oklahoma Hills. You see, there were dozens of us cousins. My grandmother had 12 kids. They each had between 4 and 8. Let's do the math. So you can imagine the chaos on Easter morning as we all gathered on my grandparents' farm. My grandfather, a strict, old-school Roman Catholic, would give everyone instructions not to eat or drink anything, especially the Easter candy in our baskets, when we woke up. You see, we had to go to Mass first. And in the tiny town, when all the extended family came to their house for Easter, well, we literally filled up the church to standing room only. So my grandfather would get all of us up before dawn to make sure that all the families were dressed and ready and inspected. Then we would load up in all the cars for a convoy into town for Easter morning Mass. He would have us get there a whole hour early, just to make sure we could all sit together on one side of the church. So you can imagine the pews of chaos. Yet, somehow, it was holy, set apart and aside from a few of us passing out every once in a while from the prickly starch of our Easter clothes and the lack of food and water until we got home. I don't know, it all just seemed to work. Then there would be an afternoon of eating and playing and a massive Easter egg hunt that extended across the farm and out into the woods. And then we would have an evening bonfire. As some of us got older and had more freedom to roam about, we would make an Easter excursion to the cemetery. It would be just about dusk when the sun was low and dappling in the trees and the moms were getting out the second round of food and grandpa and the dads were building the big bonfire. It was at this time, you could count on it, one of the older cousins would yell out, "Race you to the graveyard!" So I look back of the irony of our race to the graveyard on Easter Day. And yet, when I read these scriptures, I am reminded that 2,000 years ago, Peter and John did just that. They raced each other to the graveyard, to the tomb. You know, we've been talking about keeping our focus this Lenten season. And sometimes this is so difficult when all we can see is darkness, the bleakness of our journey. And John and Peter, cowering in the upper room, could only see hopelessness and darkness. Then suddenly, Mary bursts in with some unbelievable news. The tomb is empty. Not knowing what was going on, and well, not believing a woman, they were wondering, had grave robbers come in the night? Had the Roman authorities taken the body? Their focus suddenly widens to more than just the darkness and hopelessness of their existence without Jesus. And whatever this was, it broke into their vision and caused them to refocus outside of their misery and outside of this upper room. I can imagine they turned to each other and said, "Race you to the graveyard." And unlike the race with my cousins at dusk, this race of Peter and John was at dawn. But I can imagine kind of similar light, dappled sunlight, shadows that play tricks, the sky a mixture of colors, and the familiar path looks now somehow different. Out of the kind of focus that the pure daylight can bring. Yet, the two ran together until John overtook Peter and arrived at the empty tomb first. John peers into the darkness and sees only with his eyes from a distance, afraid to get too close. Peter catches up and wants a closer look. Maybe that will adjust their focus. Their eyes try to adjust, but they do not understand. They focus on the emptiness, and defeated, they leave, back to the safety and security of the upper room, only believing that Mary was right about one thing: the tomb was empty. Sight without comprehension. Vision without focus. But Mary stays. Her focus continues to be on finding Jesus. Her focus continues to be on her Lord. She looks in the tomb one more time, searching and seeing heavenly beings. She is bold and says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where to find him." She is bold in her ask and approach to the heavenly beings. She does not run away in fear. She stays. She seeks. She knows there has to be something beyond her focus on the empty tomb. And as she stays, her focus on the emptiness of the tomb, a voice speaks from behind her. A voice not coming from the grave, from the tomb, not coming from a place of death and darkness, but a voice from outside the grave, outside of where the cloths and the symbols of death that lie behind the rolled away stone. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned turned away from the grave, from her focus on death, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. I think sometimes Mary's a lot like us. We do seek Jesus. And hopefully we won't leave until we find him, but often our focus is on the grave, on the past, on where we think we put Jesus last time we saw him. But here's the amazing thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're searching for Jesus in the wrong place, because Jesus is looking for us, and Jesus finds us. Even when we are focused in the wrong direction, as long as we are willing to stay and to seek. So how will we, as Easter people, stay focused on the resurrected Christ beyond Easter Day? And what does staying focused on Jesus mean to you? Would all of us be willing to turn around from where we think Jesus might be to focus on where he might be calling us? Some days, it seems we too are racing to the graveyard, a place that seems so full of death, of finality. We go there, seeing only what we expect to see, and then we leave. But what if we went, and instead of expecting death, we stay until we find life? What if we go beyond the tomb and stay until we find Jesus calling us? And when our eyes have refocused from the dark tomb to the brilliant light of daybreak, what if we see our Lord alive and risen? And what if the first thing we do when we find the risen Christ is race from the graveyard to tell others? How about it, Easter people? Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, I'll race you out of the graveyard. For Christ is risen, and our Lord is alive, and we are to share that with the world. Amen and amen.